Let's learn. I think this is the fifth week in a row that we're supposed to be finishing the Sefer. But this time I really mean it. Let's see. I would have made you a father's title. So. One Reish Nun Vav on the bottom. Let's just do a little chazara for the sentence from the sentence before. Now you remember we're talking about a pnimius mahalach in Tikkun Amidas. This mimer at the end of the sefer is a mimer klali on the avoda of Tikkun Amidas, which is very, very important, because what the mechaber is explaining here is that when it comes to Tikkun Amidas, using the mashal that we ended with last week, where there was somebody who hired two schleppers to carry something, and one of the guys is sitting around just having a drink or something, and the other guy is not able to do it by himself, and he's pulling, and the balabas is saying no, and he said it's too heavy for me, so the problem is, of course, it's too heavy for you, because there are supposed to be two sabolim, there's supposed to be two schleppers, and there's only one. So how are you supposed to carry? How are you supposed to move this piano by yourself? Our problem with what Rav Schwartz is explaining is that our problem with Tikkun Amidas is that we're trying to move the piano by ourselves. A lot of the Tikkun Amidas that we do is without emunah. We all believe in Hashem, but it's without every single moment being focused in our amunah that on the other side of the wall, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there. That koch that gives us, that koch, not of the midah, but loymen hamidah, that there's another part of the table, the part that's covered with the tablecloth that I can't see. So a person's trying to fix a midah, but he's trying to fix something. He's trying to work on this midah without being connected to that part of himself that's einam and hamidah. That's something which is infinite, which is ein seif. So he finds himself working on this midah. He follows all the traditional guidelines and looking in the traditional svarim, and he's hard on himself and he's working. He's sincere. He means it, and sometimes it works, and there's improvement. Sometimes the improvement could be for a long time if other conditions in his life are ripe and filled with simcha and so on. But more often than not, he finds himself slipping again and falling back into what he considers to be his natural self. And he's unable to bring about any permanent change in his life. He's not connected to that part of himself that has the ability to pull him completely out of the rut that he's in. All the avodah he's doing is in that pit with the limited kelim that he has. If he connects to that part of himself that's unlimited, then he's able to, in a much shorter time, he's able to bring avin hapachut to his entire life. So the example that Rav Schwartz is using now on the bottom of page Reish Nun Vav is the most challenging of all of the midas, which is gaiva. So let's look inside. So let's just review the sentence before that. B'chol echad mi'itanu kayemis midas ha'gaiva shenafla le'imke ha'klipa. Every person has this inyan of gaiva that's fallen into the world of the klipas. And remember what we were talking about last week, that the usual way we were taught to cure gaiva is by just going on and on and on about how you're worthless, you're nothing, you're nobody, you're an empty nothing. So what are you being misguided by ilam she'ena shalcha? What are you about gaiva over? You're nothing, you're a nobody. And that mahalach of working with gaiva, especially nowadays, is really unsuccessful. It's unsuccessful. Usually what happens is that for the person who takes it seriously, he becomes so completely lost in that klipa of that emptiness of self-loathing and hatred, which is why he has to build himself up in a way to give the appearance that he's something that he's not. As you know, that the biggest balgaiva in the class was the one who's most sibrachin. One who's most sibrachin, the one who feels that he's most worthless, that he's nothing, that he's mamish nothing. So he has to cover up for that with this klipa of gaiva. Eich noitzia esamishon. So how do we take a person out of the world of gaiva? Michad adam nilcham ilamat laharim oyitzum lamakam nanochem. So we've been learning throughout this entire sefer, which is the whole sefer is on the side of Ofer, but when it comes to all midas, a Jew be'etzim is kadosh v'tar, and all the midas of a Jew, the shorish of every one of our midas is in the sefirah hakadosh, is in kedusha. That's the shorish of all of our midas. So a person wants to lift up. He wants to lift up the midah v'ahava we were talking about. So like the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh taught that if a person is running after the wrong things, it's because that midah v'ahava has fallen into the klipas. The love that he feels, the love that he needs and that he wants to give, that itself is very holy. The problem is that the ahava has fallen into the hands of the klipas and he needs to lift it up. So the way of the Baal Shem is lifting up our midas. Everybody knows that's the Aleph Beis of Chassidus, lifting up halos hamidas. Not breaking the midas, which the Kotzka says when you break a bad midas, then you get two bad midas. But halos hamidas, lifting up one's midas. The problem is, how do you lift up a heavy bad midas? How do you lift it up? Right? It sounds nice. In other words, I'm supposed to bring my ahava instead of using the ahava with like a girlfriend or something, I'm supposed to lift up this ahava to davening with a brand, with a fire, to loving other Jews with a fire, right? I'm supposed to lift up the mid of ahava that has fallen into the klipas. The problem is, how do you do that? And you and I know that we often feel the heaviness of that negative expression of the mida. And it's like the guy that's trying to pull the piano and push the piano on his own. Or worse, if the piano is all the way down like in a pit and he's trying to lift it up over the top of the, forget about pulling the piano, he's trying to lift the piano up to the top of the pit, up to the surface. And he's like, oh, I'm not strong enough to do this. So we fall back into the familiar behavior. And then we just figure we're not hard enough on ourselves and we'll try the old way of breaking the mida. So, Almida chu oimid milamalo merim lusa. Now let's see. So beginning at the bottom of the page. Yes, okay. But derech adam shiesh bo midas agaiva vu teifas midas agaiva ki midas shlilas. Normally, when we look at gaiva, and the way we understand, the way we're taught is that gaiva, conceit, haughtiness, arrogance, whatever it is, it's something which is very negative. It's destructive. So humanasep poshut limchaykaisa. So the way we were taught, and the natural instinct of a person is that I want to erase this from my life. I want to make it go away. We're used to doing that when you have something that you don't like, or something that's bad, something that doesn't belong. If there's a person that doesn't belong in your house, you try to get them to go away. If there's something, if you have a sickness, you try to take medicine to make it go away. So the swarm that we were learning as all the years growing up, and most of the shmuzn that we heard was, this is the way to make this thing go away. We're going to make it go away. Moshlamat davadayim, top ration on Zion. La'odam ha'manasa limchaik is kodur ha'aretz. A person is not happy with the world. He wants to make the world go away. Heim yetzliach, vadeh shalo. V'kak gam i'ef shal limchaik is midas agayim. I'ef shal limchaik is midas agayim. You cannot erase the mida of gaiva, because the Baruch Shalom created us in such a way for that sense of self worth and value to be in a way of ayigba libo b'darcha Hashem. It's a way of self preservation, And a very important part of our Avodas Hashem is Vayigba Libo Badacha Hashem, is to feel a sense of pride, a sense of Yisrael Hashabachai Espoir, to feel that pride, to feel Hashem's love for you, and so on. So you want to erase Gaiva. Hashem doesn't let you erase anything that's something like that, which is so valuable and so much a part of who we are. Do you hear me? Yeah. If it was a particular hanhaga, a particular trait of some sort, then maybe you could treat it like an avodah zarah and be mekayem the mitzvah of abe to abdon. Avla midas agayv be'etzem ha'or eloki. But when it comes to, it's not just one particular form of behavior or something that you're doing. There's a midah of gayv. That's a midah elokis. It's a midah elokis. Like we spoke about last week, Ashir Lashem Ki Gari Ga'a. Because Baruch Hu was a midah of gaiva. A midah of gaiva. Ashir Lashem Ki Gari Ga'a. A gaiva vagdula. L'chayir lama. So we cannot get rid of it. There's no abed tabdun over here. A guy be beetsam ha'or eloki. That feeling that one has of pe'ero alai, pe'eri olav, to have a love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to be misporin Hashem, to feel proud that you're a Jew, to feel proud to be an Eved Hashem, to feel proud that you have a Rabbanu Shel Olam. That's an Or Eloki. Ha'avoida einana labatla. The avoida is not to be mevatlet, is not to get rid of it. Elo lahavshita mehamakom haleinochan. The avoida is moving it from the wrong place. Piano is a great thing. A piano makes beautiful music. But if the piano is in a hole in the ground, it's no good. So the avoda is, how do I get this piano out of the bad place it's in? So that the music can be played and it can be enjoyed. So the Or Eloki of Gaiva, ha'avoda einana labatla, the avoda is not to erase it, is not to remove it. Elo lahavshita mehamokam haleinochan, lahalbisha oisa b'mokam hanochan. It's how do I take it out of the wrong place, or to take away the klipas that are covering the elokus of gaiva, and lahalbisha oisa b'mokam hanochan, and to enclose this natural and healthy midah of gaiva, to enclose it in kedusha, to enclose it in the garments that are becoming for a Jew. That's the avodah. Not to erase it. We wouldn't have, Yitzchak Avinu is the Indian of Eish, of fire and Gevurah of Yitzchak, Pachid Yitzchak. It's not Chas v'Chalila, how do we get rid of this? It's how do I enclose this Mid Elokis in Kedusha, in the Levushim of Kedusha, in Machshavas of Kedusha, in Diburim of Kedusha, and Maisim of Kedusha. Not to get rid Chalila of this. This, we spoke about this a lot when we were learning Eretz HaTshuva. The whole Eretz HaTshuva, Rav Kook, is actually a merid, a rebellion against the classic treatment of Tshuva. When I say a rebellion against it, it doesn't mean that Rav Kook was throwing out Hilchot Tshuva or Shari Tshuva, but Rav Kook was entering to the deepest Nekuda HaPnimis of what the Rambam and Rabbeinu Yonah and Ramchal and the Tzaddikim, the Kadmonim, were talking about. And tshuva on the deepest level doesn't mean to even, it doesn't even mean to remove sin from my life. It means to return to the core of who I am, to the essence of who I am, which is a world of Kedusha, to return to the midas of Elokus inside of me. And therefore, tshuva doesn't mean that it's only because of aveiros. Like one of the questions that we find in Achrayim is that how could there be such a mitzvah? The Meshech Chachma, this one talk about this, how could there be a mitzvah to do tshuva? That's implying that I was designed to do things that are wrong. Tshuva, what does it mean? It means you're not allowed to do any aveiros. So if you're not allowed to do an aveira, just stop doing it. What's tshuva? Don't do the aveira. You're not allowed to do it anyway. You're not allowed to do it anyway. So there shouldn't be any mitzvah tshuva. You're not allowed to do this aveira, so don't do it. Then you're back. Okay, you're back in shape. Don't do it. Well, of course, tshuva is something that's much, 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 much more than stopping poor behavior. The pnimius of tshuva is what we're talking about now. The pnimius of tshuva is to uncover the deep, deep core, the kedusha, that lies within that poor behavior. That is the underlying sherish that fuels that poor behavior. To be able to find that, to be able to get to that. Moshlema Davadaima, Yadad Loivish Mechnasayim Ktsaros Bacharif. You have a boy, and he wears shorts in the winter. Hubali Imovishal, he comes to his mother, and he asks his mother, Lama Hechantli Mechnasayim Ktsaros. No, that was. I'm just saying, it was my mother was calling. So now I have a. I'm in a little bit of. Yeah. No, she's okay. I just spoke to her a little while ago. This will be our fourth time today, but I don't know. Maybe not to be mechabit. I'm not sure how I can call while I'm in the middle of this. If I can call back, she'll probably call me again. So if I stop for minutes, it's because I'm taking the call. So he asks his mother. It's the middle of the winter. He asks his mother, why did you put out these shorts for me? Why did you give me shorts to wear? The imam chayeches vaymeres, Moshe mater etze. So she says, Moshe, what do you want? Elo mechnasayim shayanki atinok. These are the pants, the shorts. They belong to the your younger brother, to the baby. Bishvilo elo lo mechnasayim ktsaros henaruchais. So Maishi says that for my little brother, these aren't shorts. For my little brother, these are long pants. For my little brother, for the baby, these are long pants. Lakach des a mechnesayim she'encha shalcha. Lakach des a mechnesayim she'encha shalcha. L'chein hink tzaros alecha. So the mother's laughing. She says, Maishi, those are not the pants that I put out for you. Those are the pants that I put out for the baby. And that's why that when you put them on, they don't fit you. They're short on you. You just took the wrong pants. So what's the nimshal? So Rav Schwartz explains, im adam menasal lakaches es midas agayva velishbar isa. The person tries to take the midah of gaiva and to break it, to destroy it, which is mostly the way we were taught. Al zeh nema piska midu that I mentioned a minute ago from the Kotzker. Shlavebi Mikotsk, Sheketaitzom Ishvirus Amida, that the result of breaking Amida, Tianulay Ma'ata Shtaimkel. You're going to have two identical of these Midas. And they just morph into other things too. They multiply. Ad Akshav Aislo Gaiva Achas, Me'akshav Shtaim. Until now you had one Gaiva, now you have two in Yonam of Gaiva. Mahi Eifai Ha'avaida Loli Lachem. So therefore, what is the Baal Shem Tov suggesting? Because this is all the Torah of Baal Shem. What's the Baal Shem Tov suggesting? Lowly hilachay? I should just let myself be an arrogant, miserable balgaiva? Lowly hilachay? I shouldn't fight against gaiva? Or whatever it is, kaz, or laziness. I shouldn't fight? What, it's hefka? Chas v'sholom. Vaday aleinu lihilachem. Of course we have to fight. But you got the wrong pants. The milchama is not how do I make myself fit into these shorts. The milchama is the avoid is lahachzus amida l'makayra. The mida b'makayra, the mida in its root, in its source, fits me beautifully. And it doesn't come out as gaiva. It comes out as gedula, as gevura, as a very, very wonderful, holy, and proud Jew. It doesn't come out. It doesn't come out in a way of gaiva. It comes out gaiva de kedusha, the way of kedusha. That's the shayrish, the shayrisha. Yesh bodam gaiva. A person has gaiva. A healthy person has gaiva. It's a healthy, instinctive need that a person has. It's normal. Kashu mishtamish bo klapei ha'anisha lohi. He shlilis. However, when you use this gaiva as a way of building up your ego and running away from the truth, so then it becomes arrogance and haughtiness and conceit. But if the first step is to recognize and to believe where this gaiva comes from, that this gaiva comes from Elokus, from Nitzaitz Eloki, then he chiyuvis. The first is to identify it for what it really is and where is it coming from. That's Shlav Aleph. Vazay alov rak lahatik is as a hus shal hagaiva miha aniha prati shalo. Now the job is how to transfer this, or of gaiva, and to be malbushit into the levushim that are your size, that become and befit you for who you are as an adult. This means that the avodah is not le'ekar smidas agayva, to uproot, which is what the way we were generally taught, to uproot the midah of gaiva. Elo l'shanos es hayachas. The avodah is to change my understanding, my way of relating to this, and liyaches oyser lemokam acher, and to associate this with another source, a different place, which is the Borei Olam, which is the Creator. But that doesn't mean the person's finished. You could be fooling yourself to 120. You read a couple of Sfarim like this, and my gaiva is a gaiva of the Kedusha. The same way you could be fooling yourself that you're eating like a chazer, and you think this cold is that you're you start quoting from the Ayiv Yisrael and from the Avodas Yisrael that this is an Achila B'kedusha from Rabbi Arla, that you're eating in a way of this is the Derech HaBal Shem to eat. If you ever go into a Shabbaton that's run by Chassidim, you'll see how the eating is touching upon the world of Ein Sof, of infinity. Not necessarily because of the connection to Ein Sof, but because the food is without any limits at all, without any limits. And I don't mean to insult any of my Chassidish friends by that, but you know that that's true, that the eating thing has gotten totally out of control. Davke, in that world that's supposed to be focused on the Derech HaBal Shem, which is eat, like the tzaddikim say, Es Hashem L'kach HaTira, Es, eat, Oba Hashem L'kach HaTira, B'di Hashemayim, you eat as a Jew. So it's very easy to be a chassid and to convince yourself that the reason that I'm forbringing for 7 hours over here and I'm on my 12th piece of kugel and my fourth bowl of chont is because I'm going in the way of the Baal Shem Tov, and the truth is you're just a chazer. There's no tikkunim in that eating. So we're not there yet, and Rav Schwartz is not pretending that we're there yet. It's easy to say that I know where this gaiva comes from. But that doesn't mean that you're finished. It doesn't mean that you're there. But it's the beginning of the avodah. The first shlav is to know where it comes from. To decipher this feeling that I have, this need that I have to be chashev, to be big, to be number one. Where does this come from? Where does this come from? Where does it where does it, what's the makar of this need that I have? Where does it come from? That's the beginning of any healing, is to know what's wrong. A person could have some kind of a pimple or something, and he tries all kinds of things, but if he doesn't, the doctor, the dermatologist knows where it comes from, and the dermatologist will treat it because of where it comes from. Otherwise, if you don't know where it comes from, so you're going to go over there, you're going to start picking at it, you're going to try to cut it, to burn it, and it's going to grow back, like the Kutzka said, a much bigger pimple than it was before. You have to know where it comes from. Why is there a pimple? Where does it come from? And then you could treat it. Where it comes from, you treat it. So that's where Schwartz now talks about, in the bottom of Reish Nun Zayin. Until now, this is an idea. It's a nice idea. It's a beautiful idea. But Rav Schwartz is saying, I'm not just telling you something you should learn, a nice idea. The point of all that we're learning is that we should be able to use this, the pile. We should be able to use this in a very real and practical way. Kate said, how? We learn the marshal of the kid that's wearing shorts. And his mother told him that those are not your shorts. They belong to your baby brother. Here's the questions like this. What if the mother says this to Maishi, that those shorts belong to your baby brother? And Maishi says, Ma, I don't have a baby brother. I don't have a baby brother. He wasn't born yet. Maybe the mother's expecting. But in the meantime, I don't have a baby brother. I don't have a brother. Now, Chavra, this is the biggest problem of all. This is the biggest problem. Here we're talking about the guy. I actually had this list, not last week, 2 weeks ago. I know you're all very proud of me that I'm trying to work out a little bit. Might be late, but I guess it's never too late. So the tzaddik that I train with recommended very strongly that I get not a bicycle and not the thing that everybody walks on. I forgot what that's called, but to get a treadmill. But to get something that's called, I pronounce it wrong, elliptic. Is that the right way? Elliptical, elliptic. I kept on calling it eclipse, but elliptic. Okay. So not only did he suggest that I get one, but he found one on the Five Towns community thing that somebody was trying to get rid of, one that they had that they hardly ever used, which is, I think, what most people do with the ellipticals, whatever that they buy. Because many years ago, I convinced my wife that I had to get a treadmill, and it was for my hat and jacket in the end. And it was a whole inning getting rid of it. So and my wife did not want me to get the elliptic this time either. She says, you're not going to use it. So, of course, now I'm proving that I use it. Baruch Hashem, I'm going on it already 3 times a week. The problem was like, so getting this thing over, it has to be taken apart and then brought over to the house. So so he arranged, there's some company you can call, or you have an app, and they go to the place, they take it apart, and they bring it to your place. Yofi. Okay. So the sweetest African-American guy comes to my door, and he picked up the ellipticals from these people in Lawrence, and he brought it, and he says it's in the car. So I said, okay. So he said, where do you want it? I said, I want it upstairs in the first bedroom when you go upstairs. He said, okay, can you help me? So I said, what? He said, can you help me? I said, where's the other guy? Where's your friend? He said, I got no other guy here. So you're the other guy. So I said, I was going to leave and leave my wife here. He said, then I wouldn't have taken it upstairs. He said, you're the other guy. So here, of course, I'm thinking, like financially, how does this work out? Like financially, that's my first thought. My second thought is like I got bad shoulders, I got bad legs, I got, you know, that's why I got to work out. I have problems. But this guy is like the sweetest guy. He says, come on, Rabbi, come on. So I figure I got to prove this to this guy. So we go, this thing weighs 500 pounds. And he says, it's not heavy at all. 500 pounds. And I'm not going to describe what happened. I did help him, and I did carry it with him up the stairs. Okay. I did get it up the stairs. And it was, and I told him, you know what? You could take it back to your car, because that's all I need to work out. It was just for that. I'm done. I don't need the thing anymore. That was my whole exercise for the year. I'm finished. I'm finished working out. Anyway, here's the problem, Chevra. Why am I giving you this funny marshal besides that it's a good story? The marshal is that if you come to fix this midah, call it gaiva, whatever the midah is, atzlus, kas, gaiva, whatever, and you come and you show up by yourself, and you say, I'm here to fix, you show up to yourself and you say, hey, Moshe, I'm here to fix the midah of gaiva. And I said, and then the question is like, who did you bring? You have another guy with you. It's too heavy. He says, no, it's just Moshe, it's just you. You're by yourself. You're gonna lift up, because we call this halos hamidas. You're gonna lift up the midah of gaiva to its makar and elokus. Sounds great. The problem is that if I don't believe that there's anybody helping me, I'm not gonna be able to do it. If I don't have, not just believe, if I don't have somebody helping me lift up this elliptical of gaiva, if I don't have somebody helping me lift it up, I'm not gonna be able to get it up the stairs. I'm not gonna be able to. So I look at this guy, the guy that came to my door, and I said, like, where's your partner? He says, I ain't got no partner. You're my partner, Rabbi. And I had to face that. I had to face the bitter reality of schlepping something, but it wasn't by myself. I had this strong guy helping me. Now, what Rav Schwartz is the next shlav of our avoid is, if Moshe says, there is nobody, the shorts belong to me because I don't have a brother. It's the same thing as me, as my trying to lift up this elliptical by myself, which is impossible. I never could have lifted up such a thing by myself. Of course, I asked him right away, how'd you get it into your truck? Like, what's going on? He said, no, there was a guy over there in the house that helped me. So these people have some racket going on. Because I had to pay the same money, you know. I didn't divide it up with anybody. So he had somebody in Lawrence helping him getting into the truck. That means it was another Jew who has the same kashas and had the same avoda that I had, figuring out this whole thing, except I'm paying for this, not them. But he had to help this guy get into the truck. But the bottom line is, if I don't have anybody else with me, I can't do it. On the top of Reish Nun Ches, Im Ha'or Eloki Nimtza B'Nefesh, if I possess my partner, the big partner, because in this case, in the marshal of carrying the elliptical, there's no doubt in my mind that this guy was carrying like two-thirds of it and I was just carrying a third. If I don't have my big partner, Im Ha'or Eloki Nimtza B'Nefesh, if the Or Eloki is Nimtza B'Nefesh, if I'm a Jew of Higolana or Freis Chaviv Yalai, I'm a Jew who's been Megala, the Or of Elokus within me. I'm in contact with my big partner. I'm in touch with my big partner. And Odom Yochala Hatik is Amida Shlilis, Meha Nila Or Eloki, Shashamu Chiyuvi. Then I'm able, not just because of help, but then I have Elokus inside of me. So I'm able to not only get the help that I need to move this piano or this elliptical, but I'm also able to see the makar of where this midah of gaiva, where it belongs, where it goes to. Hagaiva of Agdul, Lechai Elamim, the one who wears these pants, who it fits, is the makar of Elokus inside of me. I'm able to see that. And over there, it's Chiyuvi. So if I move the gaiva with my big partner's help, I move that gaiva over from what? From ego, from conceit, from arrogance. And I move it over with the help of my big partner into where? Into that world of Elokus. I've been megalid myself and worked on myself to be megalid within myself, this Elokus. Then I could use gaiva in the way of l'chai olamim, the way that the Rebbeinu Shlom uses it. Ashiru l'Hashem ki goy go'a, singing avayda to be mezgabra on things, and so on and so forth. Avol im ha'or ha'loki eno goli b'nefesh ha'odam. But if I don't see that partner, if I don't see the Eloki, if I don't see the Makar, the one who really can carry this, and the one from where it comes, if I don't see that inside of me, I have nowhere to put this. I have nowhere to put it. I have no way of carrying it, and I have nowhere to put it. It only has one, my ego only has one place where it goes, which is haughtiness, conceit, and arrogance. It only has that place. Because inside of me, if I don't feel a chush, a hisgalus of elokus, I could read about this idea of halos hamidos, of lifting up midas, but A, I have no one to help me, and B, I don't know where to put it. I don't know where to put it. The only place I know where to put it is in haughtiness and arrogance. I don't know where to put this. The only place I put it is with yelling and screaming and being nasty to people who don't agree with me. I don't know where else to put it. I'm just going to put it in the same place that my father and grandfather put it because that's the only thing I know. I don't know where to put it. The Alter Rebbe says there are Jews that they're trying to be to work on this Indian of lifting up nitzaitis, lifting up sparks. But only a person who is above is able to lift up something higher to where you are. But if you're down below, if you're in the pit, if you're down below, where you want to take this, the nitzaitis? You have nowhere to take them. You don't know where to put them. Kodim shialas atzmai. First, you have to get to the top of the pit. And then you can lift up the piano, whatever it is. You can lift it up. But if you're down there, and all you know, and all you're familiar with, is that lower mida, but you don't have a connection to Eina min hamida, Loi min hamida, Ein saif, Bilti gvul. If you don't have any connection to that, which is Bilti gvul, and you don't have any place, then you have no way of lifting this, B, and even if you somehow can, in some way, move it a little bit, because you're reading a lot of Svarim that are telling you about how to break this and do that, and all these exercises of how to break Gaiva, you have nowhere to put it. So you're reading this fine Sefer that's telling to you about how you got to get rid of Gaiva. But you ask the Mechaber, but Rebbe, tell me something, what do I do with it? Where do I put it? So what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to throw it onto the Seir Lazozo? What do you do with it? Where do I move it? Where does it go? That's what the Alter Rebbe is saying. You want to lift up something? You have to lift yourself up. Lifting yourself up means, kind of, you have to find within yourself that you're not a behemoth. You have an nefesh elokis. And that's where this goes, because that's where it comes from. Return to sender. That's where it goes. And when it goes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then we're talking about HaGaiva V'Agdula, Chai Elomim. Then now this Gaiva is used to bring nachas ruach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to yourself. Not to scream and to yell and to carry on. Or this, well, what do you do with it? This is the big problem that the Tikkun HaMidas squad has. Like the Tikkun HaMidas people. What do you do with the Midah? Where does it go? What do you think? You're going to pull up at a red light next to somebody that's not Jewish and you toss over your gaiva to him through his window? What are you going to do with your gaiva? Where does it go? Well, you learned that, no, it doesn't go anywhere. You get rid of it. No, you don't get rid of it. You don't get rid of it. It's impossible to get rid of it. You don't get rid of it. It just comes out in different ways. And for the people who don't, for those people who won't give up on trying to get rid of it, they oftentimes come out to be crushed, broken, unhealthy people. Because they try to cut out a part of themselves. And there's only so long you can go with only part of yourself missing, you know, with part of yourself missing. That's the danger of those who talk about eliminating, and that way of eliminating that midah. It means you're missing, you're eliminating a part of yourself. I was having conversations like this during COVID offhand, I can think of three sets of parents that I had this conversation with during the strongest time of COVID, which I hope is all behind us. But I can think of, well, the third one's a little bit different. Okay, two clearly of this type of conversation, which was basically went something like this. Ever since our son went away to Eretz Yisrael and was in yeshiva the last 4 or 5 years, he got really into stuff, very strong, into learning, into the yeshiva. Ever since that's happened, we were very proud of his learning, but not against his learning, and his being frum. But we feel that he's no longer our son. He doesn't know how to talk to his sisters anymore, doesn't seem to have any interest in his little brother, isn't able to sit around the Shabbos table and laugh a little bit, and he just has become he sits at the Shabbos table and pull out a gemara from under the table, and he's barely able to sit with us at the table. He's just not the boy that we raised. Now, after clarifying that these are not people who are against him being frum, they're not people against him learning, they just want the same son with a beautiful personality, with a sense of humor, who is seemed to be smiling and happy, but be happy learning, be happy being frumer than we are. And we're totally fine with that. And these are people who are totally fine with a kid being frumer than them and learning, but just we want you to be happy. We haven't seen you smile in the last 2 years, 3 years. Like what happened to the happy kid that we raised? So I had two of these sets of parents told me that because of COVID, their boys had to stay in the house. And these two mothers were crying and telling me how we have our son back. We have again that boy who we sent off into the world of the yeshiva. We have him back. He's still very frum. He's frumer than us. He is very, very frum. And he still loves learning. But he's able to take a half hour off from learning to take his little brother and play ping pong with him and laugh with him. And they're crying from joy. They're so grateful to this virus that gave them their sons back. When Yiddishkeit is used as a way to cover up your personality and your midas of who you really are, when Yiddishkeit becomes a way of escaping from who you are, or part of a way of escaping. Now here it's a little bit easy because this is more like the flip out, so-called the flip out types. It's much harder when you've been in it for your whole life. But when it's cutting out a part of who you are, that doesn't make for a healthy person. That's not the person Hashem created. And that's what the mother is saying. This is not the boy that I raised. I have no problem with Yiddishkeit. My father, my grandfather, they were big tzaddikim. This one of them was telling me that her grandfather was a big rav, and she's proud that her son is learning all the time. She loves that he's learning all the time, and they're going to support him as long as he wants to. He can become a rav also. I'm talking about this kind of quality of people, top quality people. But Rebbe, that's what she's telling me. I want that it should be my son. My son was somebody who smiled. My son was somebody who knew how to emote. Was somebody who didn't feel that he's a rasha because he plays ping pong with his little brother for half hour, and he knows when it's enough, when to begin and when to end. So it's a serious problem it's a serious problem if you're telling the person to just stop doing this, cut this out of your life. We're not talking about a particular behavior, we're talking about a midah. And if you cut that out of your life, it means that you're cutting a part of yourself away, which is what many people do. You have people, let's say, who are having a tia to marshcher to depression. So instead of being metapel in that, they'll just try to not think about the thing that depresses them. And that's one mahalach. The other mahalach is to uproot a part of themselves that they believe is dragging them into this sad place. The kunst is, the chachm is, how to identify the source of this problem in my midas, and how to move it along in a healthy way. Not to eliminate, not to erase it. Now, if you don't have in your identity, if you don't have any presence of Elokus, and you hear the speech of the mashgiach or the rabbi or the parent that this is unacceptable, you're this, you're terrible, this is unacceptable. So you have nowhere to go with that. So you might control it in the meantime, but then you're just gonna take it out on your wife later on, once you leave your house. So at best you can control the negative manifestations of some of these things in your life, but they just come up in many, many other ways that could be much more extreme and much more dangerous. Come out in many ways if you try to eliminate that part of yourself. Now, the way of the Baal Shem Tov is not to eliminate it, but to enclose it in Kedusha, to return it to its maker. And by doing that, it's now Hagai v'Vagdula Chai Eloma. But if you don't have a maker, if you don't feel a relationship with the one who made you, you have no connection to the one who made you, it means you're not able to get to the top. And the Tanya says, how can you lift something up if you're in it yourself? You can't lift it up. Because it's only the part of Elokus within us that can lift it up to something higher. So you have to first know that it's there. You have to feel a connection to that part of Elokus, which is really what all of Chassidus is about, and all of Rav Schwartz's form about, is that in you being megala, that nekud of Elokus within yourself, which is hard work, and it takes longer than reading the latest manual that came out on getting rid of anger. The newest, you know, anti-anger manual, or like I mentioned last week, the great cure of all problems of Shalom Bayis is, go to the flower shop and buy your wife some flowers, and she'll be happy with you. That's the cure of Shalom Bayis problems. So that's what the Tanya is talking about. Im lo adam ein or eloki goli b'seicha v'umenasel avayda l'amidus. A person doesn't have any or of Elokus revealed within him, and he's trying to work on his midas. Chosel ha'kar ha'pnimi shel avayda l'amidus. He's missing the helper, the big partner in carrying, and B, he's got nowhere to put it. Because the big partner also has the warehouse. And that's where it comes from. He's trying to get rid of the midah, but he doesn't know what to do with it. Where does it go? It doesn't go into thin air. It does not go into thin air. That's who you are. That's how Hashem made you. It does not go into thin air. You'll either be a Meshigana for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you'll be Stama Meshigana. But a Meshigana, you're going to be a Meshigana. You're not going to be Ois Meshigana. You'll be Meshigana for something good or something bad, period. But not Ois Meshigana. Chosel HaMok, he says, where do you put it? Where to put it? Where does it come from? Even if you try to use it in a better way, you're trying to use it in a nice way, but that's not the makor. The makor is a lukus. Therefore, that connection is not consistent. It's not stable. It's not stable. Avodas Amidas, Tikkun Amidas, Be'emes and Pnimius, in a real, consistent, sustainable way, is when you're there together with the partner, with the Bnei Shleilim, who is the one who gave it to you, and is the one who is thrilled for you to give it to him, and to work with him, and he'll show you and all of us how to use this midah in a way of elukus, of serving him. But without him, it's a desperate attempt at lifting something that you're incapable of lifting, or at best, controlling it for some time, imagining that you got rid of it, only discovering that now your wife is the next victim and your kids are the next victims of that which you wrought upon your parents when you were younger. That's all. They're just other victims. Other victims. But it's you. It's always been you. They're just new victims to you. So this is the avodah and pnimius of Tikkun Amidas. Emuna, Yichud Hashem, Gilui Elokus. We're going to talk more about Bez Hashem when we continue next week. In the meantime, make sure there's someone to help you carry the thing up the stairs. Okay. Hope to see you, Mr. Shem, tomorrow.
Thank you, Rebbe. Thank
you. You're welcome, Mr. Bye, everybody.
Good Shabbos, Rebbe.
Bye.
Thank you, Jeff, for all you do, as always.
Sorry, I forgot the list to say. Thank you to Jeff and to Meridian, the whole Chavah.
Thank you, Rebbe. Thank